Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Putting this wisdom from above into practice is one of the secrets to a successful life, but it's not as easy as you think. We must trust in the Lord entirely, exclusively, and extensively. And when we do, He will never let us down. Faith never abandons reason, which is why we should never stop thinking, even when we trust the Lord with all our heart. God gave us a mind to study His Word and apply His wisdom to our lives. Doing that always leads to success in life. I'm Ron Jones. Something good starts right now.
The world defines success in terms of individual achievement, but God's ways are not our ways. Hello and welcome to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. My name is Brian. Thanks for stopping by. Coming your way next, Ron continues his teaching series from the book of Proverbs, Wise Sayings, Guidance for Everyday Life. As you follow along, pay special attention to the keys to living a successful life. These are practical steps and, at first glance, simple steps. But as you'll see, following them is not as easy as you might think. Stop by somethinggoodradio.org to listen to the broadcast on demand, on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Now from Proverbs chapter 3, here's Ron with today's Something Good radio message, The Secrets of a Successful Life.
Well, I've titled this morning's message, Secrets of a Successful Life. I think we can all probably get on some common ground this morning by saying that every one of us in this room want to live and experience success in life. And I want to suggest to you right out of the chute here that that has everything to do with the skillful application of godly wisdom in your life. See, I've been a pastor for more than 20 years, and I'm a pretty simple guy. I just happen to believe this book that we hold in our hands, the Bible, is God's Word. And it's not only God's Word, but it's the best-selling book of all time. Did you know that? It's the least read best-selling book of all time, but it's the best-selling book of all time because it's God's Word. And it's not only God's Word, it's His love letter to us. How would you read a love letter if you knew you got a love letter in the mail? You might read it a little differently. And not only that, it's a success manual for life. It's God's plan for how he redeems us and brings us into a relationship with Him. It is certainly that. But in a very practical way, too, it is a success manual for life. Every one of us want to be successful. But I want to suggest to you we need to learn success and experience success from heaven's viewpoint by downloading some wisdom from above and applying that in a skillful way. Wisdom is the ability to take God's truth and apply it skillfully in our lives. And that's what the book of Proverbs is all about. Proverbs, as you might remember from our first week of study, is part of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. There are five books of wisdom in the Old Testament. There's Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon, and the book of Job. Real quickly, Job is God's wisdom on pain and suffering. If you're going through a difficult time, you need to read the book of Job. Get God's perspective on it. Ecclesiastes is God's wisdom on the meaning of life. Song of Solomon is God's wisdom on love, marriage, and sex. Now, some of you are going to go home this afternoon, you're going to turn off the Super Bowl, and you're going to read that book. You didn't know that God talked about love, marriage, romance, and sex, but it's right there in the Song of Solomon. And the book of Psalms is God's wisdom in terms of our vertical relationship with Him. Proverbs, which is the focus of our study these weeks, is God's wisdom in our horizontal relationships. It's a gritty, useful, everyday spirituality that's aimed at applying it into our everyday life. And so we've come to chapter 3 in our study, and we're looking at verses 1 to 12. I just summarize it by calling it Secrets of a Successful Life. Now, this may not be success like you learned it by from some motivational speaker or something like that. This is God's definition in this little section of scripture here of how to live life successfully. Some of this, you may say, no duh, Pastor. And it may just be a reminder of truth you already know. Some of this may blow your minds and your categories. And you say, I never thought about that. And maybe that has some reason to do with why I'm not as successful as I'd like to be. So let's dive into this. Six secrets to a successful life. Number one, remember the wise instruction you received. Solomon is instructing his son. We see that word, my son, again in verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. You need to know as we go through these six secrets that they start with a command or a principle followed by a reward. That's the pattern. The command, the principle, followed by a reward. And the first principle is to remember something. Remember the wise instruction that you've received. In the context of Proverbs, Solomon is an engaged father. We said in week one, he's not a passive dad. No, he's proactively involved in the moral instruction of his children. He's really raising the next generation of leaders in Israel, maybe the next king. That's why over and over again in Proverbs, you see that, my son, at one time, my sons, plural. And it's a reminder to us, dads, we need to stay engaged in the home. You can't delegate the moral instruction of your kids to the Christian school or even to the church. We have a role to play in that, but it starts with dads. And here Solomon is reminding his son, pleading with his son, encouraging his son, son, remember the wise, godly instruction that I've given to you. Because Solomon probably has kids like I have in my home. They remember when their baseball game is, but they forget their homework. You know, we kind of remember the things that are most important to us, and we forget those things or block them out, those things that are maybe not as important to us. And as young people, we remember trivial things and forget important things. And as we get a little bit older, we remember the things we should forget, and we forget the things we should remember. And so living life successfully, one of the secrets, as simple as it sounds, is to remember the wise instruction that our parents poured into us. Now, some of you say, well, I didn't grow up in a home like that, Pastor. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't grow up in a home where I had wise parents. Okay, I understand that. Start where you are. And one of the places where you can get wise, godly counsel on a regular basis is right here in a church like this. Because we're going to open up the pages of God's Word, and we're going to find out what God has to say about something, and then do our best in His strength and His power to apply it into our lives. And one of the things that we do to help you remember that wise, godly counsel is give you some notes with some fill-in-the-blanks. Because I found that when I listen to something, I remember that much of it. When I listen to something and write it down, I remember this much of it. The problem is you're going to get up tomorrow morning, Lord willing, and by noon you're going to forget today's sermon if you're not intentional about remembering the wise, godly counsel you've received from the Word of God. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about remembering things. You may remember one of the Ten Commandments says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Because that's an easy thing to forget, the Lord said. All throughout the Old Testament, you read about God's relationship with His chosen people, the nation of Israel, and He says over and over again, I will remember my covenant with you. I'll remember the promises that I made to you. Fast forward into the New Testament, Jesus is with His disciples on the night before He was crucified, and He tells them to do something in remembrance of Him. He doesn't say, remember my teaching, or remember my miracles, or remember the day that I was born. He says, remember my death. He was just hours from the cross. And He instituted this thing called the Lord's Supper, communion, as a memorial, as a way of remembering the most important thing. And that's the death of Jesus Christ, the atonement for your sins and for my sins. He went to that cross and shed His blood to pay the penalty for your sins and my sins. We dare not forget that. as followers of Jesus Christ or as people who might casually appear at a church once in a while. It's all about the cross of Christ. And Jesus said, here's something you need to do in remembrance of me. Psalm 77 verse 1, the psalmist says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. The first secret to living life successfully is to be on the receiving end of wise, godly counsel. And then make sure as you go out into the world this afternoon or tomorrow morning and you're bombarded with a whole host of voices that are trying to get your attention, advertisements, 24-hour news, social media, whatever it is, it easily crowds out the memory of the good stuff we're supposed to remember and apply to our life. So be regularly in church. I'm not saying that because I'm a pastor and I want to fill up seats. I'm saying this because your spiritual life, and yes, the success of your life depends on the regular intake of wise, godly counsel. I had a seminary professor once say to us, everybody needs to be under the teaching of God's word. You also need to be in it for yourself. And that includes the preacher. I need to be under the teaching of somebody's word, receiving and instructing myself in wise, godly, not just for the preparation of a sermon, but because my spiritual life depends on it as well.
Still ahead, the second half of today's message with Dr. Ron Jones. Need prayer today? Then visit somethinggoodradio.org and share your request. Our ministry team will be happy to join you in prayer. Use the Explore feature at the top of the homepage and then tell us how we can pray for you. While you're there, visit our digital library where you'll find more than 500 hours of video and audio teaching from Dr. Ron Jones. Search the streaming library by scripture or topic. Again, that web address is somethinggoodradio.org. Dr. Ron Jones calls it the RQ. And when it comes to being a success in life, it's far more important than how smart you are, how rich you are, or how attractive you are. Let's join him now for the rest of today's Something Good radio message, Secrets of a Successful Life.
So the first secret is to remember the wise instruction you've received. Number two, I would say it this way. The secret is to give and receive love. One of the secrets to a successful life is that ability to give and to receive love. Here's how Solomon says it to his son. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Do you want to experience good success in the sight of God and man? Solomon says, let steadfast love and faithfulness go with you wherever you go. And by the way, these are qualities that we find in God's character. His steadfast love, the Bible says, never fails. It's that wonderful, rich Hebrew word, hesed, translated a number of different ways in our Old Testament, but translated here as steadfast love. It's the idea of covenant love, loyalty, a commitment to. God loves us in a steadfast kind of way. He's loyal to us. He's committed to us. The marriage relationship is based upon that covenant. Marriage is not a contract between two parties. Marriage, from God's perspective, is a covenant based upon steadfast love that says, I'm committed to this person in sickness and in health, for riches or for poor, until death do us part. It's that kind of commitment and faithfulness and love. And Solomon says, son, if you're going to be successful in life, you need to learn how to give and receive love and be committed in relationships. In a broader sense, I would say this secret is all about healthy relationships. And how true is that? You can have the highest IQ in the room, but if you don't know how to give and receive love in a healthy way and develop healthy relationships, you may find yourself in the basement of some organization, you know, using your IQ some way. When I hire a person in ministry or otherwise, IQ is important, that intelligence quotient, but I quickly look at the RQ, the relationship quotient. Does this person have healthy relationships? Is there evidence of them being able to give and receive love in a healthy kind of way? Are their relationships long-term committed relationships, or is there a trail of broken relationships behind them? Not only marriage relationships, but friends and even professional relationships. I go from IQ to RQ. I quickly then go to EQ. EQ is the emotional quotient. What's going on inside that person? Now, we all have baggage, some more than others, but a person who is not emotionally healthy has a difficult time developing healthy relationships and even giving and receiving love. And everywhere they go, it's drama, the drama king or the drama queen. And it's not long before they barf all over everybody emotionally and relationally. It just isn't working in the organization. Oh, they may have a high IQ. They may have the best education in the world, but they haven't figured out there's other secrets to a successful life, and that's binding your heart and your neck and everything about you with steadfast love and faithfulness, those people skills that we look for in life. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, gives us a little glimpse into the childhood of Jesus. And it says, he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. It just describes the holistic, healthy way in which, yes, he was the Son of God and the perfect Savior of the world, but the way in which he grew up. In wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Here Proverbs says, let steadfast love and faithfulness not forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. In other words, take them wherever you go. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and in the sight of man. It's just a simple thing, but oh, so important. Oh, so important. For any success that we experience in life. Here's a third secret. We read on in verses 5 and 6. The idea is to put your complete trust in the Lord. Here's how Solomon says it. He says, my son, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Another translation says, and the Lord will direct your paths. How many of you want the Lord to direct your paths? Maybe you're in the midst of a decision-making season in your life, and you need some direction. You need some wise counsel. We're quick to kind of run to the reward side of these principles and rewards. But the Lord directing our path has everything to do with us putting our complete trust in the Lord. If I were to ask you, how many of you are trusting in the Lord today? A lot of hands would go up. But are you trusting him completely? First of all, we have to trust him entirely with all of our hearts. He says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Jesus said it this way, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Give all of yourself to him, not just a part of him, not just Sunday morning for an hour. You know, check the box and do the God thing. But you're trusting him entirely with all your heart. Trust him exclusively. Do not lean to your own understanding, Solomon says. You know, there are a lot of us who become edumacated in life. And we got degrees and we got experience, might have some resources. And it's easy to lean on those things and to trust those things rather than trust the Lord. Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 31 and verse 1, he says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord. He says, woe to those. You know, be on guard against yourself and others who trust in all of these things that the world says are trustworthy. Got a big bank account, I got lots of experience, I got lots of degrees, I got the corner office, and I'm leaning to my own understanding. I got this figured out. That's what a lot of us say. I got this figured out. My gut's telling me this. Well, I hope it's a sanctified gut. And it's a gut through whom the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God is speaking. Psalm 20 and verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now, the world may not tell you this. The world's not going to say one of the secrets to a successful life is to trust in the Lord completely. But the Bible tells us to do that. Here's the problem. Here's the challenge for us. Some of us have trust issues, don't we? And it's hard for you to trust people. I grew up in a broken home. My parents divorced when I was in high school. And it wasn't until probably my early 20s, maybe my mid-20s, that I figured out there was a trust issue that I had. Somebody whom I wanted to trust, my parent, there was something broken there by the divorce. And now I was going through life fearing that somebody, it wasn't real external. It's part of that EQ in me, though. It was part of that emotional quotient that just wasn't quite right. And it was shortly after that the Lord reminded me of a verse of scripture that I memorized as a young boy, where he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh my. And that's exactly what he promises. He is the most trustworthy being in the universe. And I can say from experience, friends, that if you let him rebuild that broken trust in your life, you're on the road to a healthier existence.
You've been listening to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. Today's message is part of Ron's teaching series, Wise Sayings, Guidance for Everyday Life. Look for it under the Library tab at somethinggoodradio.org. Now Ron joins me to talk about his new book, The Jesus Way to Pray. Ron, so excited about the release of your new book, The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. What inspired you to write this book?
Thanks for the question, Brian. You know, I think all of us, no matter how long we've been following Jesus, can use some help with our prayer life. I know I can, and I'm supposed to be a professional at this, right? I can totally understand why the disciples approached Jesus and asked him to teach them how to pray. Fortunately, the model prayer Jesus gave his disciples is recorded for us in the pages of Scripture and preserved for nearly 2,000 years. It's known worldwide as the Lord's Prayer. I call it the Jesus Way to Pray.
Ron, you say in the introduction to the book, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus. What do you mean by that?
Well, Brian, to say, Lord, teach us to pray, as Jesus' disciples did, is kind of like asking Michael Jordan or LeBron James to teach us how to play the game of basketball, or Leonardo da Vinci to teach us how to paint a masterpiece like The Last Supper or the Mona Lisa, or Michelangelo to teach us how to sculpt a marble stone into David or the Pietà. Truly, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus.
Pastor, thanks so much for sharing this important resource with us. Again, that book is called The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456.
Understand you don't know what you don't know. Be humble enough to admit that, especially before a sovereign God who knows everything, who has never been to school, nobody has ever taught him, but he has perfect knowledge and perfect wisdom in every aspect of life, whether it's quantum physics or who's going to win the Super Bowl today. Nothing ever surprises him, and nobody ever taught him. So we humble ourselves before him. We have a healthy respect and fear for who he is. And the fear of the Lord is that awesome respect for who God is and what he says, such that it makes you turn away from evil. That's what Solomon says to his son. He says, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil.
That's tomorrow in part 2 of Dr. Ron Jones' message, The Secrets of a Successful Life. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and all of us here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.